The New Dominion, everything Virginia. Politics, economy, society, pop culture, sports, and more. And it's on the air. From our studios in the Shenandoah Valley, it's the New Dominion Show.
Thought it was supposed to be fall. You know, Labor Day was Monday. I know it's not formally fall, but it's still hot like August here.
Don't cry. You know what it is? Uh-huh. They said we're going to have three or four more days of this really hot, humid weather before the fall-like weather sweeps in.
Does this have anything to do with that groundhog? You know, he comes out in February and gives us six more weeks of spring or whatever. He comes out and now gives us six more weeks of summer?
No.
No? Okay.
No, I mean, you can't complain that much. It hasn't been that hot of a summer. I mean, the last month has been a little bit grueling, but it hasn't been that bad overall.
Unbearable. I'm Chris Graham. Crystal Graham here with the New Dominion Show, and we have lots to share with you this week. Brian Moran, the Minority Caucus Chairman in the House of Delegates, Democrat from Northern Virginia, talked about as a possible statewide candidate in 2009. He'll be joining us to talk about this year's election cycle. Throw in a question or two as well about Mark Warner, a good friend of his.
You have to ask him right?
Talk about Mark Warner.
We have to see if he'll give us any news.
That's right, if he can give us any scoop there. Also joining us on this show, a fun interview, Lauren Coleman, one of the co-authors of Weird Virginia.
Weird Virginia. Didn't you write something on the website about this?
Well, we had a review from a Charlottesville writer of this book so a week or so ago.
What's Weird Virginia? What's it all about?
Weird Virginia. Well, we'll ask Lauren some more, but it includes things about ghost stories in different parts of Virginia. Also, you know, this is Lauren's specialty. He's a cryptozoologist, and I don't know if you know what that means.
I think that sounds made up. What is that?
A cryptozoologist examines and studies...
Crips?
Well, no, cryptozoologist. Oh. Let's break the word down.
Crips and animals.
Animals. So he examines, for example, stories about Bigfoot.
Ah.
Sea serpents. Virginia has a sea serpent.
You know, I remember reading that.
But it's our own Loch Ness monster. So
awesome.
We'll talk with Lauren about that and other stuff in Weird Virginia. And then also another fun interview we have coming up at the end of the show with Wayne Marshall, W.R. Marshall, a regular columnist here on the New Dominion. And we're going to talk some national politics. Plenty to talk about there with the Bush administration, the visit of the president this week to Iraq and his pronouncements therein. And so W.R., I'm sure, will have some interesting tales to tell us as well. So all that coming up and more here on the New Dominion.
Want to know what's going on? Check out our calendar of events and get the complete rundown. The New Dominion, thenewdominion.com. You can't tell the players without a scorecard. Election 2007, your one-stop shop for this year's elections.
Back on the New Dominion Show, it's after Labor Day, and politics are in full season here in Virginia. We have Brian Moran, the Minority Caucus Leader in the House of Delegates, Democrat from Northern Virginia, joining us. Brian, thanks for joining us.
Great to be with you, Chris.
First question I have to ask, it's sort of on the topic on everybody's minds this week anyway. Last week, the announcement that John Warner is going to step down at the end of his current term. Now the focus switches to another Warner, Mark Warner. He indicating that sometime in the next week he will be announcing his plans, maybe to run for Senate for that seat. You're close to Mark, I know. You've been close with Mark for several years. I interviewed him in Buena Vista on Monday at the Labor Day parade, and he seems conflicted about what he's going to do. Is that the sense you're getting as well?
I spent the weekend with Mark. You're right. Mark and I have known each other even well before politics. In fact, it was 1994 when Mark told me to run for the House of Delegates.
Oh.
And I did. I wish he had given me some stock tips so I could be doing as well as he is.
That might have been a big help to you, right?
Mark is a great public servant. He was a terrific governor. I've voiced to him my support of whatever he decides to do. He actually has three options. In my estimation, he could certainly run for the United States Senate. He could wait and see if he would be selected as a vice presidential candidate by our nominee, or he could run for governor again. So certainly he has a number of options. I think in any capacity, the citizens of Virginia would welcome him back as governor or support him for the Senate. He did a great job as governor, balanced our budgets, made investments in education and public safety. So I'm excited that he wants to come back in some capacity, and I certainly welcome him back in whatever he decides to do.
He's in a nice position right now, and I would think that what he decides to do might have some impact on what you decide to do in the future. Of course, we're looking ahead right now to 2007 elections, but there's talk out there that Brian Moran is one of the more attractive statewide candidates for 2009, possibly. Is that something that could be in your future?
Well, as you know, Chris, I've been doing a great deal of traveling up and down the valley and in the Tidewater region and Southwest Virginia. And I have received a great deal of encouragement and urging to run for a statewide office. That decision will not be made until after the November elections. I really am focused on changing the General Assembly, bringing some more centrist, some more moderate leadership to the General Assembly. And so any decision of concerning a statewide office, we'll have to wait until after November.
And we've got plenty on our plate leading up to November. We're talking with Brian Moran here on the New Dominion Show, and those elections are hot and heavy. Democrats certainly, I think, feel right to think that maybe majorities in one or both houses are possible in this year's election cycle, and because of some of the big issues that are out there. First, your thoughts on the driver fees. You're up there in Northern Virginia, the heart of where the furor over the driver fees that were enacted by the General Assembly earlier this year has really taken root this summer. Your thoughts on what Virginia needs to do next to address the issues that have been brought up by citizens?
Well, I have been very pleased that the citizens have become so engaged and even enraged at these abuser fees. They initially were sponsored by a Republican legislator back in 2005. I spoke out against them in committee. I'm a member of the Transportation Committee. I spoke out against them then, and I spoke out against them as recently as this year. They only tax Virginians. They are excessive. And I think they're going to lead to clogging our court system. Ultimately, I don't believe our state troopers and police officers should be tax collectors. They are there to enforce the law and reduce the speed in our highways, but not to impose taxes on our citizens to pay for roads. And I think people understand that. Virginians have risen up and objected to these. So I look forward to repealing these abusive driver fees when we reconvene in January.
Talking with Brian Moran here on the New Dominion Show, and it seems maybe I'm reading this into it, but last week Republican lawmakers, Republican leaders in the General Assembly announcing an anti-immigration plan, and I'm wondering if they're trying to take the heat off this driver fee issue by doing that, but want to get your thoughts on just what they've proposed as far as that goes. I know that's also another issue that's big in Northern Virginia, with several localities studying the effects of immigration on local services, local budgets, and a lot of citizen interest in this topic there too.
Yes, I would agree, and I think I'd agree with your conclusion that this is they have brought forward this issue to take heat off themselves regarding the abuse of driver fees. Just when the abuse of driver fees seem to have caught the attention of voters, they have come up with any number of plans with respect to illegal immigration. Democrats also agree that it is a problem and deserves attention. We are studying it. The governor has a commission. I'm on the State Crime Commission, and we are studying it. I hope we're able to address this issue in a bipartisan fashion. It's not a Democrat or Republican issue. We need to get our hands around the increasing population of illegal immigrants, not only in Northern Virginia. As I travel Virginia, it's an issue in Southside and Danville and even in the Valley. We are studying what we can do as a state. A number of localities have taken action, and what we need to determine is what we can do vis-a-vis the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
The federal government has prohibited government, state governments and local governments from acting in this regard. So we need to analyze exactly what it is we can do and we can do legally to address this issue.
Do you think we'll see anything in terms of a counterproposal, a package of proposals from Democrats in this election season that deals specifically with immigration, given that, you know, right now Republicans are trying to seize the initiative on this issue and Democrats aren't straying away from it? Obviously, as you say, there are a number of studies going on. Will we see something in terms of a public pronouncement, so to speak, in the next couple of months?
Well, a number of our candidates have already taken the initiative and have proposed the hiring of additional Employment Commission officers to inspect employers to make sure that our employers in Virginia are not hiring illegal immigrants. So a number of our candidates have already proposed that initiative. With respect to a statewide initiative, obviously we look to the governor's commission to see what it is we can do effectively and legally with respect to what the federal government has prohibited. So we'll await that commission study, and I would not be surprised if we're able to come forward with some concrete proposals to address this issue.
Brian Moran joining us here on the New Dominion Show. One more question, and then we'll let you go. The governor recently speaking to the money committees of the General Assembly about the current year fiscal budget shortfall. And, of course, last year also we saw some budget shortfall issues come up. He's also hinting that looking ahead to 2008-2010, which that biennial budget will be looked at next year by the General Assembly, we might have some core needs in terms of transportation, education, and some other areas where we're going to have some issues there, too, in terms of the funding availability. Is this something that you think – do you agree, I guess, with his assessment there? And what do you think, if you do, what we can do to address the potential shortfalls in the future?
I was pleased that the governor, as soon as he was aware of the fiscal problems, took action. He informed the General Assembly. That's what we need from our governor, some honesty and forthrightness with respect to our financial problems. And I look forward to working with our Republican leadership to address our shortfalls. Every state in the nation is dealing with the mortgage industry and the housing industry and the difficulties with respect to that, and the foreclosures that are coming and have already been realized. Because of that housing problem, we have a shortfall in revenue, and we're going to have to address that, and we need to address it in a forthright and honest manner. Virginia has earned the reputation as the best managed state in the country. Under Mark Warner and now Tim Kaine, we've been rated the best state to do business. We need to maintain that integrity, that mantle of good government, and so let's deal with this fiscal problem in a rational and professional manner and make sure our books remain balanced.
Brian Moran, thanks for joining us. We hope to have you on again soon as this election season unfolds.
My pleasure to be with you, Chris. Great. Let's get all those voters out on November 6th.
Everything Virginia, the New Dominion, www.thenewdominion.com. The place to go to find news and views, Virginia news, radio, and TV links. Online at thenewdominion.com.
Joining us now on the New Dominion Show is Lauren Coleman, one of the co-authors of a book that'll get your attention just with the name, Weird Virginia. Lauren, thanks for joining us.
Sure, it's great to be here.
Weird Virginia. Now, there's a series of books in the Weird series, if we can say, about weird and funny and wacky things across the country. But tell me about, maybe first, just how do you get involved in writing about weird things?
Well, I've been writing about strange phenomena and cryptozoology, strange creatures, for over 50 years. And so when the young men involved in the Weird New Jersey and Weird USA project started doing these for all the states, I was very interested in Weird Virginia since I was born in Norfolk, Virginia in 1947.
Okay.
My father was actually in the U.S. Navy, of course. And I've always had this focus on Virginia because I thought if there was another war between the states, I'd have to fight on the side of the South since I was born there.
That's we'll have you come down if we need that. Lauren Coleman, he's one of the co-authors of Weird Virginia. Now, cryptozoology, you got my attention there with that description of what you, one of the things you do. What weird critters? What critters of the night? Big feet, whatever we can say, are running around the woods and mountains. Particularly for me, I live in the mountains of Virginia, so I want to know what might be out there.
Right. Well, what we did, Jeff Barr and Troy Taylor and myself, we divide up the book, and I'm very interested in this strange creature, so I wrote about all of the cryptozoological phenomena. Bigfoot, yes, there are Bigfoot in the hills, in the Appalachia area. Certainly we got a lot of reports from the 1970s, and even some reports from Marines at Quantico Marine Base in January 17th, 1977, they saw some Bigfoot. In the year 1959 through the 1990s, around Saltville, there's been these strange reports of what we call devil monkeys, almost creatures that look like baboons or kangaroos. Then there's the report from 1968 of the Mothman type creature, and that's in Prince William County near a farm near Haymarket. So that's a little, you know, that's not in the hills. But what I'm saying is that these creatures span the whole state.
Yes.
And, of course, then we have the very famous Chessie reports, the sea serpent reports in Chesapeake Bay of this creature that is quite famous now worldwide, Chessie.
Yeah, people who are familiar with the Loch Ness Monster, Virginia certainly has their own with Chessie there. And how far do those reports date back? When are the first sightings, if you've been able to trace that?
Sure. Well, I certainly know that there's been sightings back into the 60s. We know that all up and down the coast of the Atlantic, there are reports back to the 1800s. But the big real connection with Chesapeake Bay and the whole naming of Chessie really started in 1978 when a CIA employee, Donald Kiker, reported that he saw four Chessies about 75 yards offshore, and his neighbors, the Smoots, also saw the creature. Then in 1980, then in 1982, and we started to quickly have a progression of many sightings. Then there was kind of a dip at the end of the 80s, and then during the middle of the 90s, we had more reports. And that's what we often find with the sea serpent reports. They come in waves. So I would actually expect another wave of Chessie sightings around this time.
We're talking with Lauren Coleman, one of the co-authors of Weird Virginia here on the New Dominion Show. And another question about Chessie. Any inkling as to what Chessie might be? Is Chessie something maybe that we haven't identified yet as an animal on Earth?
Well, that's certainly a possibility, and that's why it's cryptozoological. There seems to be some large animals out there in the ocean, almost as if they seem to be serpent-like, but they may actually be prehistoric, primitive whales, ancient whales, or they could be an unknown species of a giant seal that we haven't identified. Most of the reports that they look reptilian and the serpents or reptiles are really mistakes, because what we notice is that these creatures swim in a certain way, and they have eyebrows and they have hair on them, so we certainly know they're mammals.
Talking with Lauren Coleman here on the New Dominion Show, one of the co-authors of Weird Virginia. And I know the book covers other topics too, interesting places in Virginia that people can go visit. The subject generally interests me. I'm always a person watching TV shows about UFOs and about the cryptozoology and that kind of thing. It interests me in the least, just to say, to know what might be out there. What drew you to cryptozoology and to getting into the kind of subjects that are things that we can't really explain?
Well, I saw a film in 1960 about the Abominable Snowman, and I went to school and I asked my teachers, what is this business about the Abominable Snowman? And all of my teachers said, don't waste your time, don't read anything about it. So what did I do? I read everything I could and found out that there was a substantial amount of evidence here and that had been ignored by science. So just like you're mentioning, the other paranormal subjects that are in the book, like ghosts, and sacred places or UFO reports, those all are outside the mainstream of what is acknowledged by science, and that really drew me into this whole field of strange and unexplained phenomena.
And the great thing about this book series, the Weird Virginia book part of that series, is that people can learn that it's not just something you watch on TV, that people somewhere else are saying that they see or have encountered in whatever things that we're talking about here, UFOs or ghosts or Bigfoot or Chessie or whatever else, but they do happen in your backyard too. And so that's probably fun for people to learn. Maybe a little scary for some people if you read it at night, but I'm sure it's interesting. For what kind of reaction do you get? Do you hear from fans? Do you hear from people who read the books? And what do they say?
Oh yes, people really enjoy it. I was actually I can go on speaking engagements in Maine or, in Texas, and people have heard about the Weird Virginia book or some of the other books that I've written, but I've just been amazed how many transplanted Virginians there are around the country that have read this book and really come up to me and talk to me about it.
That's great. That's great to hear. Well, the book is available on the internet. We'll have a link on our website, thenewdominion.com, so you can get more information about Weird Virginia and the whole series. For our listeners out there, it might be from other states where that have been written about. Maybe they can get involved there too. But Lauren Coleman, one of the co-authors, thanks for joining us today.
Sure. It's been great, and I hope people enjoy this travel guide to their, as you said, backyard wonders.
You can't tell the players without a scorecard. Election 2007, your one-stop shop for this year's elections. You can't tell the players without a scorecard. Election 2007, your one-stop shop for this year's elections.
Welcome back to the New Dominion Show. Now we have with us W.R. Marshall. W.R. is a regular here on the show, and of course we've covered national politics with W.R. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Now this is just too much for us to get into. There's so much out there that we can't possibly cover it all, but we'll start this week. The surprise visit by the president to Iraq, another mission accomplished type thing. They just didn't have the banner up there, but everything else was very similar to that. Your thoughts, first off, just about the surprise trip and the coverage of it, and whatever else comes to mind there.
Well, you know, I found it interesting that as is typical with everything that's going on with the Iraq war, he slides out the side war to surprise everybody in Iraq, and gives essentially his Petraeus report speech over there. Of course, it's changed since he got there, because now he went to Anbar province. So now he's sort of given up on Baghdad. So, well, look, I'm not getting shot out here. Everything's working fine. But I think what's more interesting about his visit there is in light of everything that's going with Larry Craig. You know, I mean, you got a president here who likes to play dress up. Let's be real honest. Okay.
Yeah.
So he did this in Mission Impossible. This is his sort of like Schwarzenegger commando thing, you know. He's like, I'm James Bond, look at me, I'm slipping out the side door, I'm getting on a secret airplane, look at me, I'm going over here, I'm dressing up, I'm being all macho. It's sort of the W as the macho fighter jock. I didn't really serve, but I didn't want to, but now I'm getting to go over there kind of thing. So
yeah.
I think it's all part of, look, this is part of Republican Gay Pride Week.
Oh, yeah,
you know, it's sort of like you have this village people thing going here. W gets to be the they didn't have an army guy, so I guess he'd be the cop, right?
Yeah, that's right. We're talking with W.R. Marshall here on the New Dominion Show, and we'll go back and forth on these two topics because they are so related. The Larry Craig, I guess, quasi resignation. What can we call it now? He's resigned. Now he's not resigning. Now he's saying he didn't intend to resign all along. It was lawyerly parsing words. What a fun situation the Republicans have for themselves there.
I got to tell you, you know, and this is not speaking as a member of a political party, but as a writer, Larry Craig, the gift that just keeps on giving. I mean, how much better could this get, right?
And then even to the level of he's leaving a cell phone message for someone he thinks is, on the inside, and now it's out on roll call that this was planned all along, that Arlen Specter had indicated to him he was going to back him up on the Sunday news shows, which he did later on. And it just gets better and better every day.
It's unbelievable. And Mitch McConnell, you know, the first guy to hold Larry Craig's size 11 Prada heels to the fire, you know, suddenly says, well, if he doesn't want to resign, it's all right. You know, and Mitch McConnell, by the way, looks a lot like Mrs. Doubtfire. I think all of this is part of, you know, there's this deep abiding Republican underground gay community. Ken Melman was part of it. Goes back to Roy Cohn, but because the base doesn't want anything to do with it, they work hard at hiding it. But you know, you can't hide your genes, so they just out themselves all the time. I mean, Larry Craig, you know, is obviously hanging out in bathrooms all over America, just staying out of Idaho. So the Statesman, you know, the Idaho paper sort of overlooks it. You know, there's a long list of, well, look, this goes back to, first of all, he's the singing senator. You know, he sings he does all the show tunes in the Senate. And they've showed that tape plenty of times, but, you know, in the 99 when they're impeaching Clinton, and you have Craig up there going, he's a bad boy. He's a naughty bad boy. He might even be a nasty, naughty bad boy. And Fritz Holland's over in the corner busting a gut laughing at this.
Uh-huh.
You know, so you got him saying, just like Nixon saying, I am not a crook. You know, I'm not gay. I've never gay. Like Clinton saying, I did not have sex with that woman. I think we all know what it means when you say, I'm not gay. I was never gay.
Yeah, well, maybe he's parsing words once again. I'm not gay. Maybe he's bi, and therefore he's not being inaccurate when he says that. Who knows? I'm talking with W.R. Marshall here on the New Dominion Show, and you know, I guess it's interesting to watch the nighttime gabfest when this discussion comes up, and now the Republican talkers have certainly switched sides. Last week they were very much for his resignation because that would get rid of a big problem in the Senate for them. Of course, right. the Idaho governor would appoint a Republican to take the rest of his term and be able to maybe run for re-election as a Republican next year, and then therefore they can hold on to that seat in this very close Senate majority-minority situation. Mm-hmm. You get to this point though now where now he's coming back and saying he's not going to resign, and you're starting to see these talkers say, well, maybe he doesn't need to. The Democrats don't need to make him resign. They're bringing the Clinton thing back up again.
Of course.
It's great for me to see this because I guess they don't realize that Democrats probably don't want this guy to resign. They'd love him to be there for the next 16 months.
Democrats would love him to still be in the Senate. They'd love to have Foley back. You know, they'd like Jack Abramoff to still be wandering around in Washington.
They wish they could get Duke Cunningham out of jail and
exactly.
get him back in the House.
You know, have Duke Cunningham bring his shopping list out. I got a boat. Look, this is my boat. So, yeah, I think a while back I wrote something about everybody in the White House drinking Kool-Aid.
Uh-huh.
I think it's in the water system all over D.C. because, you know, there's I think his name Tom Draper is writing a book. Robert Draper is writing a book. Another book about Bush called Dead Certain.
Yes.
You know, and about how W likes to pretend he's Dr. Evil and that he has how shall we put this kindly? He has a one-track mind, all right?
Yes.
He sets his sight on something, that's it. Nobody's going to change his mind. Which would be interesting if he was the president of, the Eagle Pencil Company. But president of the United States, that's a problem. And so he surrounds himself with people who will think the same way. Well, and I thought that was just a localized phenomenon on the White House. It seems nobody in Washington... they've completely lost their grip of reality. It's like D.C. is sort of just drifting out to sea. You know, how the Republicans don't see this as a problem. But don't worry, all you Republican listeners. The Democrats will find a way to screw this up. I guarantee it.
Well, we've already seen that. They take over with the big midterm wins last year, and their approval ratings are right around, if not lower, than the president's.
I believe
right
they
now.
Are lower.
And that's hard to imagine how you could do that in just, 9 months' time. W.R. Marshall joining us here on the New Dominion Show. Yeah, it's really hard to figure that you could turn a good situation like that around to the point now where we're looking ahead to 2008 thinking that, you know, maybe a few months ago we would think that a Democrat, whoever they would nominate, if they would nominate Mickey Mouse, would be the shoo-in for 2008 for the White House, and that's certainly not the case at all at this point.
Actually, if Mickey Mouse ran, I'd have to vote for him.
I think Mickey Mouse would, yeah, he doesn't have as many negatives as everybody else.
He doesn't have as many negatives. You put Goofy on the ticket. Look, it's better than what we got, and it's better, it seems to be, than anything that's out there.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I wanted to get one more thing in. We're going back to the President Bush surprise visit to Iraq. And, of course, you mentioned the book, A Dead Certain, excerpts of that published this week. Really interesting, considering what he had to say in Iraq, which is that if things continue the way they are, maybe we can start a troop reduction. And yet he was telling the biographer there that his hope is that he can just keep the pressure up long enough so that the next president has to continue to keep troops in Iraq.
Right.
What a great, talking out of two sides of your head kind of moment there for us.
Well, you know, and this, you know, and maybe the public's disconnected too. From day one, I mean, it's surprising to know, from day one, he was going to make this, like the rich college boy he is, he was going to make a mess and let somebody else clean it up. And it's never been anything different. And he never, from the beginning, never said this would end under his term, ever. So this isn't a surprise to anyone. What's interesting and what's tragic is watching the Democrats, who now have control of the Senate, roll over and roll over and roll over. I mean, what the benchmarks were for success in Iraq 6 months ago, every one of them has been missed, from the Maliki government to, in fact, to some generals saying, and the whole idea, you know, we went there to find weapons of mass destruction, everybody forgets it. Now it's a noble experiment of democracy, which a handful of generals have already said, you know, the democracy thing, maybe what we need to do is put a strong man in, like the guy we got rid of, until we can calm things down. So, you know, whatever he wanted Iraq to look like, it's not going to look like it when he leaves office. And he simply doesn't care. And I think it goes back to what Draper said. He just has this idea that I sent troops there, and that's what I did. You know, his administration is just like this little trip to Iraq. I'm going to slip out the back door. I'm going to go talk to some people. Why? For what reason? No real reason. I mean, his presidency is nothing but a series of photo ops from now until the end of his term. But think of how much damage he can do until then.
There's 16 months of
16 months. The Democrats are going to give him another $50 billion.
Yeah,
you know, and so I guess it's the 28% who he's trying to appeal to.
You just have to wonder how many of those troops who were used for that photo op the other day are going to end up coming home in a way that obviously we don't want them to, in some sort
right.
of pine box,
and that's, which we will never see, by the way, because part of the administration policy has been from day one to never let cameras see our dead come into Delaware, which is the base on Delaware where they all come in. They've never allowed that, and they still won't.
One last thing, and then I'll let you go. W.R. Marshall joining us here. The charm offensive of Hillary Clinton, she and her husband Bill, all over the place, The View, the David Letterman show, everywhere with trying to change her image. Is it possible they can soften her up enough so that those high negatives that are out there among hardcore Republicans will ever go away?
Okay, kids. This is for you kids going out to take your SAT. This is the analogy part. Charm is to Hillary what intelligence is to W. You see what I'm saying here, guys?
Yeah.
Okay.
Very good. Well, W.R. Marshall, his column every week here in the New Dominion. Even this week, we added a new little element. We got a little graphic.
So people who send the hate mail can now make fun of how I look as well.
Pretty soon we'll have an avatar. You'll be jumping through space and everything else, but we'll save that for later. W.R., thanks for joining us.
Hey, my pleasure, Chris.
Want to know what's going on? Check out our calendar of events and get the complete rundown. The New Dominion, thenewdominion.com. Headlines from across the Commonwealth, the morning edition, weekdays at thenewdominion.com.
I want to thank our guest once again, W.R. Marshall, regular columnist here on thenewdominion.com. Also, Lauren Coleman, one of the co-authors of Weird Virginia. Lots of stuff there we got to learn about. And Brian Moran, of course, a member of the House of Delegates, a prominent Democrat here in the state of Virginia. Lots of politics in the show today, but some other fun stuff too. And now we're getting ready to move into our weekly look at the morning editions that we do each week on thenewdominion.com. Monday through Friday, every morning we wake you up with headlines from newspapers across the state about important stuff going on in the Commonwealth. And we hinted at this earlier when we talked about Brian Moran. I even asked Brian Moran a couple of questions about Mark Warner. Now, John Warner last week announcing he will not run for re-election when his term comes up. It would be next November he'd have to run for re-election. And so all the speculation turns to the other Warner in Virginia about whether or not he will run. Apparently the news is he will announce early next week his intentions as to whether he runs for the Senate seat in 2008 or holds out for the governor's position in 2009. We heard from Brian Moran earlier. Brian Moran agrees with me that vice president, at least a shot at vice president, is not out of the realm of possibility either. But what a great place to be in if you're somebody looking for a job.
I'm telling you, when he dropped out of the presidential race, I think you immediately said, vice president, that's where he's going to be. You know, you a southern governor, so to speak, on a ticket certainly is appealing. It'll be interesting to see which decision that he makes. You know, a lot of people think that he was waiting for John Warner to retire, that he is going to go after that Senate seat. And then you get the flip side. You have political analysts on both sides that are saying, no, I think he's going to run for governor. I think that there's a clear indication that, you know, that that's the case. He's going to put all that speculation to an end, you know, next week when he says what he's going to do. But you've even said, hey, if he says I'm going to run for governor, then that vice presidential option is still on the table. So what do you think is going to happen?
You're stealing my thunder, but then you set me up really well. The segue there.
It's all about a segue.
I got to put my thinking cap on here. Okay, the prognosticator in me says he's going to announce next week he's going to run for governor, and then he will end up running for the vice presidential nomination. He'll get the vice presidential
nomination. So ideally, whose ticket would he be on?
I don't want to say ideally, because that means I'm picking a candidate there, but my read is it'll be Hillary Clinton.
So if Hillary Clinton wins, you see him as the vice. If she wins the Democratic nomination, you think he'll be the vice presidential candidate. What if Barack Obama wins it or someone else? Do you still see him as a contender for the vice presidential?
I think Hillary Clinton is the odds on favorite to win the nomination now, so I'm not even sure it's worth going into detail there. But I'll say my good friend Mark Warner, I interview him a lot. We got a good rapport. He won't like it when I say this, and I've said this many times, though. I didn't say this to him when
That's all right. That's part of the reason he loves you, right?
Because
you put him on the hot seat more times than he'd like to count.
I've been saying since he dropped out of the presidential race last year that there was essentially a quid pro quo as far as this goes. A number of his top staffers were former Bill Clinton staffers, his presidential campaign when he his brief run there at that. And I just think there's a lot of synergy between Mark Warner and Hillary Clinton, and that would be a formidable duo come next November. So,
okay, so Mark Warner, the same Mark Warner who, when he was governor, he had you at the governor's mansion singing Christmas carols in front of the press corps. I guess his way of kind of putting you on the spot, since you do it to him all the time, you're going to be doing that at the White House.
I guess he can invite me to the White House, more like the Blair House, you know, where the vice president lives.
Right,
but,
right.
I guess we could handle going to the... that means I got to dress up again, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But hey, you can't turn down an invitation to, like, a president, vice presidential Christmas party.
Even as vice president, he'll still walk the streets of Buena Vista every
Labor Day. So you're going to put that on your calendar.
I'll put that on
tentatively.
Calendar. Yes.
What
yes.
else is going on around the New Dominion?
Well, let's look. Home sales. News from the Virginia Association of Realtors this week. Of course, we've known... that the state government's saying that their budget is facing a shortfall because of real estate lags in Northern Virginia in particular. It's a statewide phenomenon. This week, the VAR putting out a release about July home sales. Home sales are down through the year to date between 11 and 15%.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the actual home sales, pending home sales, That's huge. Just a couple years ago, the real estate market in Virginia was overheated to the point where you had realtors going out and asking people if they were thinking about selling their house. It's now to a point where, you know, houses aren't selling.
They don't even want it. I mean, I can tell you this right now. I have a realtor who's in a networking group that I'm a part of. And you know what she said? I'm not looking for sellers. I'm looking for buyers. Connect me with buyers, because right now we don't have them. And, you know, from a personal perspective, I have a mother who has got her home on the market right now. And I can tell you that there have been less than a handful of people buy to see it. And the reason why is there just are not the buyers. And she's in that weird range. If you've read anything about this, they've said that kind of $200,000 to $500,000 range is the worst one to be in. And that's the range that she's in. So
it's
any improvement on the horizon? I mean, are they making any predictions?
Well, I don't think that there could be seen, at least in the short-term horizon, any improvement, because the bigger issues here are the issues in the mortgage industry. You know, the number of defaults are going up, and of course that's going to affect...
Well, there already is an effect on the mortgage industry. I mean, that's another thing you're already seeing. A lot of the people who were kind of doing the, I guess, some more of the risky loans and things of that nature, they've already gone out of business. A ton of those declared bankruptcy, and some others just decided they didn't want to be in the business anymore.
Yeah.
So there's a huge impact that I've seen statewide on that. I've also seen some companies, some big manufacturing companies, starting to lay people off. And the reason why that is, if there's a downturn in home sales, then new homes don't need carpet. They don't need other products that other people in Virginia are selling. And so there's that economic impact as well. So to me, it's very surprising, because just a couple years ago, we were in this boom.
Did you see the headline, Crystal, this morning? If you had looked at the newdominion.com at all this morning, you know what I'm talking about. Punch bug.
No, I'm so guilty. I have. What are you talking about?
Volkswagen is moving its corporate headquarters to Northern Virginia.
Wow.
It's U.S. corporate headquarters. Big news.
So
today,
how many jobs are we talking
it's
about?
It's 400 jobs locating in Fairfax County. It's a $100 million investment. Volkswagen of America, also Audi of America, will be setting up their corporate headquarters in
Fairfax
County.
Corporate headquarters. I mean, that's really impressive.
Yeah, the Governor Tim
Where
Kaine,
are they presently located? Do you know?
They're in the United States, because this is Volkswagen and Audi of the U.S. I don't have that information in front of me, but the big news is that they're relocating to Fairfax County. So huge economic news for Virginia there. And
another reason for me to drive a punch bug.
Like, exactly.
Because you know that's the next car on my list to buy.
I tell you, it's a big win. And look next week at our winners and losers column, and you'll see
big win.
Well, it's not just a big win for Virginia. That's not what I was going to say. What I was going to say, big win for Tim Kaine. Tim Kaine has been making it a hallmark of his efforts economic development wise as governor of Virginia to try to land an auto manufacturer. We know where our home base is in Augusta County, that there were strenuous efforts to try to land Toyota, which eventually ended up going to Mississippi to build a new plant. And so I'm sure the governor is beaming about this this successful effort to bring Volkswagen. And, of course, those of us who just love looking at punch bugs are also very happy.
Good job, Tim Kaine and all the people. Because, you know, the governor gets a lot of credit for that. And sometimes it's worth it and sometimes it's not. But I know there's a lot of behind the scenes going on, and it's just good for Virginia as a whole.
Well, that will do it for our wrap-up of the morning edition. Once again, you can look at that each week on the newdominion.com. Each Monday through Friday, around 9, 9.30 or so each morning, we'll give you all the important stuff going on in the Commonwealth of Virginia. And also, don't forget, you can sign up for our newsletter. There's a link on the top of the front page of the newdominion.com. You get a free newsletter. You get if you missed anything during the week, you want a link to our podcast here each week. If you want to just be able to download that really easily, sign up for that newsletter. It's free, and you'll get it delivered right to your email box. So, well, want to thank everybody for listening this week. It's been a great week.
All right, let's talk again soon.
The New Dominion is a production of Augusta Free Press, all rights reserved. For more on the New Dominion, visit our website at thenewdominion.com and look for the New Dominion magazine at a bookstore near you. The New Dominion, everything Virginia.